One of the most inspirational stories that you can hear, especially those of you that are football fans, and by the way, football season's coming. And I love football. This man who was bagging groceries for 4 years in a Hy-Vee grocery store was signed to probably a walk-on contract. Became the MVP of the league 2 times, won the Super Bowl, MVP Super Bowl as well. Some of you know who he is. His name is Kurt Warner. Love him. Great Christian. How many people's lives have been changed because of his testimony? From being an utter failure to an amazing success. But I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about his wife, Brenda. I don't know if you know who she is. This is Brenda Warner. You want to talk about failure or someone who experienced more than their shares of just failures? A Christian already, married, went into the services. She was a Marine, married a person in the Marines. One day gets a call, you know, something happened to her son. Didn't know what happened, how it happened, and eventually found out that her husband, who was abusive to her and had an affair, multiple, dropped her son, causing him to have brain damage and become totally blind. Wow. Of course, eventually they had a divorce. In 1990, single mom of 2 children, 1 handicapped, living off food stamp, no money whatsoever, got another phone call. Tornado hit her parents' home, killed both her mother and her father. I mean, this is a life that's becoming more and more of a disaster. She met Kurt, was not a success at all. Another failure. So from failure to failure. So they got married, living in a basement, hand to mouth, just another failure. But I want to tell you something. Out of that failure, Brenda Warner, not just because of her husband's success later on, is a top New York Times best writer, inspirational speaker, ministers to so many women particularly, had 5 more children together, they have 7, a family that anybody would look at and say, what a great success. I don't know how many of you have struggled with failures or had one failure that just dogged your life. In this passage, I find so interesting. His great Elijah, you know, a prophet that has done so many things. I mean, miraculous empowerment in his life. And there he is at this moment in time. Got into a cave and said, God, I want to die. I'm such a failure. There's nothing I did that could do anything, you know. Utter failure. Have you ever felt that before? Just think it through, your failure. Today, I want to share briefly 3 important thoughts about handling failure. First of all, you better have a good perspective. You better have a good perspective. So many things in life is all about perspective. It's how you see it. You know, all of us can go outside and look at something, and we probably see things very differently, depending on what perspective that we have. You know, where do we come from? The eyeglasses of life that we put on. Elijah had a really terrible perspective at this point. He did this great thing, and instead of people embracing him, they're ready to kill him. Let me share with you 3 quotes that I had. Sven Eriksson, who is a famous footballer, a soccer person in England, he writes, "The greatest barriers to success is the fear of failure." A lot of people wrote that. Zig Ziglar is an inspirational Christian writer and speaker, said failure is a detour, not a dead-end street. These are perspectives, you know, they're giving us. And of course, Henry Ford said, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. Perspectives. How do you see things, you know? Here is Elijah seeing a perspective of his own, based upon emotions, based upon what human beings are saying, based upon who knows what, but certainly not from God. He's seeing things through his eyes, man's eyes. And I want to tell you, if you see things through man's eyes, you will always see them wrong. Because they can't see the eternal. They can't see the spiritual. They're not seeing what God is planning. And so we think of failures as bad. It's just awful, you know? Now, there's all kinds of failures. Some failures are bad, and you need to handle them right, because some of them are very sinful. Others are not. Others are process. Others are things that God has given to us, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But what kind of perspectives do you have? I love this story here, because there he is in a cave. What is he doing? He's just complaining. He's just groveling. He's just sick and tired of himself and everything else. He's in a cave. You know, sometimes we are just in caves. We like it there. You know, it's nice and comfortable. It's dark. No one bothers us. We don't have to answer to anybody. We can just stay there. Oh, I'm sure all of us have had experiences like that where you just want to stay in bed. You just don't want to get out. I don't want to see people, you know. What if they knew what happened yesterday? I can't handle it. What if they just knew about me, you know? But then God came to me. He says, I want to talk to you. I want you to see things through my eyes. And of course, you got these great things. You know, sometimes we just assume that God's going to speak to us those ways. The earthquake, the fire, you know, or the wind, those kind of things. No, God wasn't in any of those things. And you know where God was? In a tiny whisper. Still, small voice. How many of you have heard the voice of the Lord? That's where you hear it, in the times of prayer and devotion. And that's why it's so important for God's people to be praying. That's why it's so important for God's people to be in devotional time. That's why you have to have times with the Lord. You can't hear God otherwise. It's in the closet. It's in the places where God is going to speak to you in quietness. And sometimes we're just all over the place. You know, we're so loud about our lives. We're constantly going here, there, everywhere. We don't have that time. And you say, how can I do that, Pastor? You know, I'm a mom of three kids. You know, they don't even go to sleep till 10, 11 at night. How do I get time? You know, I'm so busy. I'm going here and there. I'm constantly traveling to work. I got a project here, a project there. I got to go home and I got to open my computer and I got to do all those things even after work. I'm always on the road. There's a million and one excuses. I'm sure Elijah had them all too. But unless you get to a place where you can get that perspective, I want to tell you, you are going to have a tough time knowing who God is and hearing from the voice of God. And because you lack that, you won't be able to see life with the right perspective. And if you see it wrong, I want to tell you, failure is going to haunt you. They're going to destroy you instead of doing something better. Perspectives. Second thing I want to share with you is perseverance. When we deal with failures, we have to talk about this. See, Elijah wanted to quit. And why not? You fail, you want to quit. I don't want to do it again. I don't want that humiliation again. I don't want to have that feeling again. I don't want to go out there again and come back feeling like this again. It's just awful. I don't want that again. That's pretty common. You know, I shared this with you before. I'm a person that believes in baseball. I know the Moons are all into baseball, right? Facebook friends of mine, and I know everything about the Astros without ever having to go to the games. The wins, the losses, that's great. You guys travel with them. But I love baseball. You know why? Baseball is about perseverance. So this guy goes out there and he bats 300. What a failure. Oh my goodness, can you fail worse than that? You go 10 times at bat and you miss 7 times? You are nothing but a failure. And he's going to get $200 million contract. Batting 300? Are you kidding? What a great success. Baseball. It's all perspective, you know? Somebody can say, you missed 7 times. I mean, you can't be a success. But we know better. You persevere. You go back up there. You struck out. You go back up there and you do it again. That's what we need to do. And God wanted Elijah to say, get out of that cave, man. Get something to eat, put some energy in your life. I still got a lot of things for you to do yet. You persevere, you stay on it. See, most of us, we have one of those failures. I mean, you just can't handle anymore. I know people that can't get out of the house. They refuse to talk to people. They'll never, ever go there again. You know that kind of thing? Perseverance. Let me share with you 3 lives that you probably know. Max Lucado, if you haven't read his books, you should. Writer of 100 plus books. He has sold 80 million copies, going toward 100 million. The first book that he wrote, the first manuscript, sent it to 15 publishers. Not a one of them would give him anything. He writes, nobody wanted to publish it. Every time I got the manuscript back, I thought, well, I'll just try another publisher. And number 16 was the charm. Max Lucado. Somebody else that you might know, those of you that are older, Madeline Engel. She published 3 books by the age of 30, didn't do too well. Then between age 30 and 40, she published 2 more books. They were disasters, nothing at all. At the age of 40, she was going to quit. But she said, no, I'm going to try. I am a writer. God has given me that gift. A Christian writer she is. I am going to write. And she wrote, and she sent that thing, 30 different publisher attempts. Nobody wanted it. Finally, someone picked it up. And that book became a great success. A Wrinkle in the Wind or something like that. A Wrinkle in Time, that's it. Some of you might have read that. 14 million copies later, a very famous movie that was made out of it. And she writes, if I'm not free to fail, I'm not free to take risks. And everything in life that's worth doing involves a willingness to risk. For the next 30 years, she wrote and published the average of about 1 book a year. She was not going to give up. She persevered. One more person. All chickens around the world know him. Colonel Harlan Sanders. At the age of 65, he had this idea. He's not going to retire. He had $100, $105 a month salary from his pension. He has these 7 spices that he was able to put together. You know, secret formula, recipe. And he was going to do something with it. It's written about him. He refused to give up in spite of 1,008 sales call to restaurant owners that ended in rejection. Prospect number 1,009 was the first to say yes. So $105 pension became a $285 billion business, and all of us have eaten that chicken. Perseverance. All 3 of these men and women, are solid Christians who believed in God. Perseverance, guys. Failures, well, they do one thing immediately to our lives. They stop us. If we let them, they stop us from becoming all that God wants us to be. As if, you know what? If God wanted me to do that, I'll be a success. I try so hard. And sometimes they say, after that, what can I possibly do? How can I possibly continue with my life? Perseverance. You get up and you go on. Now, I don't want to be an inspirational speaker here. There are lots of them out there that are not even Christians. And they'll say these kind of things too. But I want to tell you, it is from the heart of God that he has something great for you and me. So I want to go to the third point, or third part I want to share with you, which is really important, is how we impact because of our failures. Do you know that God can use your failures or that failure that you have to do great and awesome things with? If you go through the Bible, you'll find the greatest personalities are personalities with great failures. Look at David. You know, David is a person that we love. I mean, we love the things that he writes, all those Psalms. They change our lives. They impact. God has used those words. It is God's words put in by him. But look what he did. I mean, the failures of his life are amazing failures, awful failures, failures that we couldn't even think about. How about the Apostle Paul? Oh, my goodness. This guy killed Christians. Phenomenally terrible life that he lived. He was a murderer of Christians. Could you be any worse in the Christian community? And Peter, oh my. At the time of his Lord's greatest need, in a sense, he stood there and he denied Jesus, not once, which is horrible. Not twice, which is even worse. Three times, and demoralized the rest of the disciples. They all fled. They all went under the table. All these three and others in the Bible and all of those in thousands of years since, they had great failures. But they had great impact because of those failures. Because of those failures, these men were greater and better. I tell you, one man that I love and I read his books, inspired by him, was Chuck Colson, who passed away just recently. For 4 years, he was called the Hatchet Man of President Richard Nixon. He did things that politicians, you know, they get to do. All kinds of horrific things. Just a nasty man. You don't want him as your enemy. Of course, the Watergate scandal came to be. He was convicted of tampering with evidence, sentenced to 7 months in jail. During that time, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. You know that. And afterwards, he became a phenomenal personality. Started prison ministry, which I dare say have impacted millions and millions of lives all around this world. Wrote, I think, upwards of 50 books, many of them you have read. A great apologist for the gospel message. And a great human being. And a great brother in the Lord. And this is what he wrote. He said, I've seen how God has used my broken experience for his greatest glory. Anything said about me has to be a reflection of the great things God has done, not Chuck Colson. I love this. Guys, you have a failure in your life? Remember this. I'm able to do what I do today because of the greatest failure of my life. See, God turns failures into great success. He does all day long. That's what he does. We are sinful human beings, worthless, destined for damnation. And he turned us into beautiful creatures with a great hope. But more than that, he has in mind to use each one of you to do so many things. What Chuck Colson did, he can do with you. What the Apostle Paul and Peter and David, their lives can be yours. You say, really? Absolutely, really. Because it's the same God, you see? It's not because of our circumstance. It's not because of our names. It's the same God. He can do that.
And I want to tell you, one of the saddest things that I find in the Christian circles is how we don't allow God to do that in our churches, in our communities, in our ministries. And you can disagree with some of these things, but I want to tell you what it is. I just read recently in one of the church websites, they're looking for a staff. And they have all these criterias, you know. They're hard enough as it is. You have to have this master degree. You have to have these experiences. You have to have this and that and that. And then finally, you can never have been divorced. Never. Can't have David ever in your church. He doesn't qualify. You know, Brenda Warner, forget about her. That's what we do, you know. We take failures in life and say, that's it. You're over, you're marked. Not God. God doesn't do that. Now, that's just dealing with divorce. We have all kinds of other things, too. You know, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this. Maybe you can go be an inspirational speaker like Brenda, like Nikki Cruz, who murder people. You can do all those things, but you're not good enough to be a deacon in our church or to be a pastor in our church. I wonder how that hurts my Lord. He died on the cross of Calvary so that our failures can be successes. Our failures can be turned into beautiful things, and yet that's what we do. And a lot of times we do that to ourselves. He says, I've lived this life, therefore I cannot. Oh, don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Those are lies. I can just stand here. I can Google them all over. I can give you lists and pages of people that God has transformed. Failures in the eyes of every single person, but never failures in the eyes of God. So Elijah, you still got a job to do. You have some great things yet. And by the way, I have 7,000 people who have never bent their knees to Baal. Now go, keep doing what I want you to do. God has something great for you guys. I don't care if you're old or you're young. I don't care if you got some deformity in your life, in the sense of your socially or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. God has something great for you. Do not allow the enemy to speak to your heart otherwise. Because you will impact the lives of thousands if you will trust him. I want to tell you about failures, though, before I end. It isn't just rah, rah, rah. You know, Pastor Dan said, I can do it. I'm going, no. You got to do something with failures. You got to come before the living God in humility. Say, Lord, this is my life. This is what happened. Here's my relationship with my husband. Here's my relationship with my friends. Looks like a disaster. And if there's sin in it, you have to confess it. You have to repent of it. You have to say, Lord God, forgive me. I want to change. Now, they all always have sin in it. Sometimes it's the process. But if there's sin, you must do that. And you say, Lord, once again, do what you will with my life. I want to tell you something. God will answer in ways that you can't imagine. You can't imagine. He will change your life. And he will use your failures to transform you. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I want to come before you. I want to thank you that you're not interested in perfection in us. You're just looking for someone that's humble, that will come before you and believe in you. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you would turn each person's life here. No matter the failures, no matter the circumstance, into amazing, amazing.